I'm here to announce the prison emergency is over in California.
Today, that's Governor Jerry Brown at a press conference earlier this year declaring the state's prison problem officially fixed. The state is under federal mandate to reduce its prison population and improve medical care for inmates, and the governor says California has spent billions of dollars to hire more staff to ensure that the system has excellent health care. So in January, Brown signed an executive order eliminating the emergency and filed papers to terminate the federal oversight of the mental health system.
This is a very intrusive effort by federal judges to fix and remedy problems in the prison system. But at some point, the job's done.
But is it really done? The state has yet to meet the benchmark set by the court for reducing the prison population to 112,000 inmates. The man who will lead the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation as it navigates these legal questions is Secretary Jeffrey Beard. He spoke with us about how he'll approach his new job.
Well, I guess the first way I approach my work is by getting to know the people and the system and the problems and issues that they face. And I was fortunate in that I had been consulting out here for almost 2 years before I got the job. And so I got to learn a lot about the system and at least some of their bigger problems. I think what I'm still learning is some of the smaller stuff.
And what do you think are the biggest problems with the system?
One of the biggest problems, obviously, is the continuing court oversight in the medical and mental health and in other areas. I think that court oversight had some positive reasons back when it started in the 2000s. And I guess the one court case has been going on for like 17 years. But I think, you know, CDCR has now reached the point where they're providing a what I believe is a constitutional level of care for medical and mental health for the inmates. And in some ways, the continuing court oversight prevents CDCR from moving ahead as well as fast as they would like to move ahead in some things.
How does it prevent you from moving ahead?
Well, like, for instance, in the mental health area, for instance, if you wanted to make a change in your policies or your procedures, you have to go to the special master. You have to get approval from the special master. There has to be an agreement. It could take months to work out a change. The plaintiffs may have to get involved in making the change. So it's that kind of thing that slows down really moving forward.
And one mental health issue in the prisons, the LA Times reports that the suicide rate is climbing in the California prison system. How are you addressing that?
Well, first of all, I don't think the suicide rate is climbing. It's higher than many other states. And the way we're addressing it is to look at each and every suicide that occurs and try to learn from those suicides and learn if there's something different that we should be doing, and also listening to what outside experts tell us that should be being done within the system. And when I frankly look at what California is doing, I think they have a very robust, very in-depth suicide prevention plan, and they're working very hard to bring it down. One of the problems they're going to have is that realignment actually somewhat hurts them, because the people that were left behind are the more violent offenders, the offenders who are serving a longer period of time, and it's precisely that group of individuals who tend to be more likely to commit suicide. So that's one reason why the rate may not be coming down as quickly as we would like it to, but we're going to continue to work on it and bring it down.
And how do you think realignment is going so far, and specifically with regard to one of the unintended consequences of realignment, which is the fact that I've heard a lot of reports that there are fewer programs for the prisoners who are left in the California system?
Well, actually, there are not fewer programs. And in fact, that's another area that I'm going to be focusing on, is to continue to increase the programs, and actually they had already begun to increase the programs out here before I got here. The legislature appropriated a specific pool of money for programs. That money has to be used for that purpose and is being used for that purpose. And we're seeing a resurgence of education programs, vocational training programs, substance abuse programs, and the like.
So can you give me the specifics of where that's increasing?
Throughout the system.
But like where? Because that's not what we're hearing from inmates. We're hearing that there are fewer opportunities.
Well, that's not true. Not within the past year or so. There's been something like 7,500, for instance, 7,500 education slots added to the system within the past year or so, and that continues to be developed. So it may not be moving as fast as the inmates would like, but in fact, there are more programs. And starting, I believe, within the next couple months, we're going to be opening up 13 reentry centers in 13 of our facilities around the state. And those reentry centers will have intensive programming for people who are getting near the end of their sentence. It'll have substance abuse, cognitive behavioral type programs, and also education and vocational training programs. So, you know, things are improving. If you go back maybe 3 or 4 years with the downturn in the economy, programs were shut down. It did go backwards. That's no longer the case. They're moving forward, and they're going to continue to move forward as we go into the next few years. And we're going to also be focusing on programs that make a difference. In other words, we're not going to just spend money to do a program to do a program. We're going to only spend money and our limited resources on those programs that make a difference. In terms of reducing recidivism for the inmates. In other words, making them less likely to go out and commit new crimes, less likely to come back to prison in the future.
You mentioned that since you took the job as secretary of the CDCR, you've been talking to people. Who are you talking with? How are you going around and talking with both inmates and guards and all of the constituents that and families that make up this system?
Well, before I, you know, was working here, as I said, I was a consultant for a couple years, and I visited over 20 of the institutions. During that time, I had an opportunity to talk to staff and to talk to inmates. And since I've taken the job, I've continued to visit prisons, talk to inmates, talk to staff, and have also met with various groups. Met with the Sheriff's Association, met with the Chiefs Association. Just recently met with a victims group. So I'm starting, you know, I've been meeting with, you know, a wide range of people that either are directly or indirectly involved with the prison system.
And Governor Brown says that the work to improve this system is essentially done and the court oversight should end. It was actually some of your testimony that resulted in the federal court order to cap the California prison population. And so you said that you agreed with your testimony back then, but things have changed. How do you think, what do you think has changed?
Well, what I think has changed is a number of things. First of all, the population is down almost 25%. There's 43,000 less inmates than back at the peak. Before California started to change the way they do business. Number two, there's been a significant reduction in receptions coming into the system. Back at the peak, they had 140,000 inmates coming into the system a year. When you get that many people coming into the system, it's very difficult to catch all the mental health and all the medical problems as they come in the front door. Today, we only have 35,000 a year coming into the system, a huge, huge drop. So numbers are down greatly. And the other area that we've seen significant change is they've hired a lot of staff around the state, doctors, nurses, social workers, psychologists. They have more staff today, and they're of higher levels of training than they had back in 2005, 2006. The other thing that has happened is they've constructed facilities inside the institutions so they can provide better medical and mental health care, and they continue to bring those new facilities online. So when you look at it from a staffing standpoint, when you look at it from a construction, when you look at it from just the sheer numbers being dropped, and then when you look at their policies and procedures, where they do a lot of things that are best practice kinds of things, and you put it all together, you now have a system that, again, in my view, is providing a constitutional level of care for both medical and mental health needs.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and that's Jeffrey Beard, the new Secretary of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. He's become the leader of the department at a point when it's facing great changes and challenges. The long-term effects of realignment, that's the state's prison population reduction plan, are still uncertain. And Governor Brown is asking for more autonomy from the federal government as the department moves forward with reforms to the prison healthcare system. We'll rejoin my conversation with Secretary Beard as he gives his impression of San Quentin State Prison and why San Quentin's model of providing educational and cultural programs to inmates isn't as common at other prisons.
It's not a matter of us not exporting that model elsewhere. It's more a matter of the local communities in the area where many of the prisons are built don't show the kind of support that we get in that Bay Area. I think CDCR is and always will be open to any community support that we can get. I know that our wardens work within their communities and develop that support and have some levels of the support that you're noting in the Bay Area at San Quentin. It's just that you have more people there that are interested in helping out and helping the inmates get ready for their return back into the community. And I wish more people around the state would show that same kind of interest in our other prisons, because I think if they did, it would help the inmates feel better about themselves when they go out, because they'd know there's people out there that are willing to help them. And it would really help with that whole reentry process, which can be very difficult for many inmates.
And a lot of people have criticized the California penal system and many of the U.S. prison systems as systems that just were not designed well in the first place and really don't accommodate the idea of rehabilitation, and that people don't realize that these are folks who are coming back into the community every day. So I'm just wondering, if you had a carte blanche to recreate the system, what would be your priorities? What would you do?
Well, I think if I could change things, I would, first of all, not lock up as many people as we lock up, as we were locking up here in California and as we do around the country. I think it's important that we keep some of the less serious offenders more in the community, where they can perhaps be punished if they need to go to jail for a period of time, but also get the kinds of programming that they need at that community level. Once you take a person out of the community and you put them in prison, you make it much, much more difficult for them to get back out again. And they also tend to associate with more serious offenders when you do that. So if I were starting over, I would make sure that we limit our prisons to those serious violent offenders that are very dangerous to protect our society, and those less serious people I would not send into our prison systems. Because you're right, what's going to happen is that, you know, 90% of the people basically are coming back someday, and if we put too many of them in the prison system, as I think we have done around the country over the years, we make their reentry much more difficult, and we make it much more likely they're going to fail and end up committing new crimes and having new victims. So I think that's one of the biggest things we could do. And the other thing is that I would look at some of the systemic drivers to incarceration in the first place. You know, we know that many of our inmates come from a few poor inner cities where they have poor schools in many cases. And we know that 70% of the inmates who come in the system have a substance abuse problem that was not dealt with and addressed in the community. They couldn't get the treatment they needed. And we know about 20% of them have a mental health problem. If we did a better job with our schools, if we provided more opportunity in our inner cities, if we did a better job providing substance abuse, if we did a better job dealing with the mentally ill, we would have less people coming to prison in the first place.
I also wonder about determinant sentencing and the fact that there is no requirement to do any kind of rehab or education program in California's prisons. Do you think that's something that we should rethink?
Well, I don't know that you have to rethink determinant sentencing. I do think, however, there needs to be some incentive for inmates to become involved in programs. And I think where you have an incentive, whatever that might be, and you could have it with determinant sentencing by letting them have some credit and some time off. And I know in the California system, there are credits that are given for certain program participations. You know, certainly that kind of thing makes it more likely that inmates will become involved and in the first place. And then be less likely to come back to prison if they complete those programs.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about that I've heard from a lot of inmates is that there's this kind of culture between the guards and the prisoners of seeing inmates as subhuman, and that this can lead to abuse and certainly bad relations. Do you think that that's an issue?
I have not noted that to be an issue in having visited some 27 institutions up to this point. And I know that there's a very detailed system in place to look for any kind of staff misconduct, any kind of abuse. That is not tolerated in this system. And so I think that while there may be some inmates who don't get along with some staff in general, from what I've seen when I've gone around, there seems to be a good relationship between the staff and the inmates in most cases, and I'm not aware of any widespread abuse or that that's an issue.
What do you hope to accomplish as secretary? What would you like people to say about your tenure when you're done with this job?
Well, I think there's three main things. The first thing is, you know, you can always make prisons safer. So I would like to see the prisons be safer for staff and for inmates. Number two, I would like to get the programs back in place and make sure that they're programs that make a difference, programs that will make people less likely to come back to prison. I think that's really one of our public safety responsibilities to do that. And third, I'd like to see the court oversight lifted from the state, and I would like to see the system be turned back so that we can operate both the medical and the mental health areas. I think if I could accomplish things in those three areas, I would feel that I've done something.